The Rose Garden by Tracy Reese, read by Emma Fenney. Chapter 1. Mabs. London, 1895. The metal ladder pinned to the wall of the ice well rattled as Mabs climbed down, her heart sinking further with every rung. 40 feet below ground, she jumped off to land knee-deep in shadows. The cold was thin and green and razor-sharp, merciless through the layers of shirt and jacket in which she'd wrapped herself, even through the woolly scarf one of the wharf boys had lent her. She'd wound it round and round her neck and the lower part of her face, but still the cold cut through. She was swiftly joined by 3 other labourers, all boys, of course, who threw brief nods at Mabs and each other. It was a strange, twilight world. The shouts and bangs of the canal wharf high above them were muffled and remote. The stacks of ice stood tall and silent, and Mabs couldn't shake the feeling that they were watching her. It was like a scene from a nightmare, she thought. By rights, she would wake with a gasp and a flood of relief that it wasn't real. But it was real. When she'd arrived at work that morning, it was a hateful surprise to learn that she would be working in the ice wells, shades, they called them. To add insult to injury, it wasn't even ice season. Winter was when the ice arrived from Norway, in glistening mountains roped to the barges, and had to be lowered into the shades. Summer was when it was all brought up again, loaded onto carts and taken to the homes of the rich. Usually, in October, you were safe from it. But this week was hot and sunny with bright blue skies. The late burst of summer meant that the grand homes wanted to serve ices at their dinner parties again, and the ice cream vendors decided to keep their stalls open a little longer. So down went Mabs and the others to bring up the last of the ice. They looked around, assessing where to start. Their job was to shift the great greenish blocks of ice to within reach of the giant tongs that dangled on a massive chain from 40 feet above. They set to, Mabs and 2 of the boys pushing the recalcitrant bulk of the ice with all their might, while the last boy, a tall fellow with a shock of hair the colour of hay, directed them and pulled the chain as far as it would reach. When the block was positioned just so, they fastened the tongs, or ice dogs, securely around it before shouting for Swiss Louis to haul it up. As one block lifted away, they immediately turned their attention to the next. Most of the regular ice workers had returned to their native lands, Switzerland, Italy, France. A few who didn't have much to go back to worked at the canals year-round. They got called all sorts, Frenchy, garlic-head wop, with little care for their actual nationality. Apart from that, they fitted in all right. It was Mabs who wouldn't, if they knew. She wasn't a likely labourer. She was small at the best of times, and there'd been precious little food of late. But Pa had fallen apart with grief when Ma died nearly a year ago, and Mabs had 6 little brothers and sisters. Somebody had to earn something. So Mabs dressed as a boy, tucked her hair under a cap, and went by the name of Mark. She kept herself to herself at work. It meant she missed out on the lively banter that was a consolation for working there, but she was afraid of being found out for a girl. So she kept her head down, worked the ice, and stayed quiet while the boys broke the monotony with jokes and laughter. The 2 working alongside her were called Big and Mikey, she gathered, and the other one was Kipper, a nickname she hoped, for his sake. In any case, there wasn't much point making friends. Labourers were rotated from cargo to cargo as they were needed. You were never part of the same team for long. All sorts of cargoes travelled along the Regent's Canal. Timber, grain, arsenic, manure. But ice was the one Mabs hated most of all. It was slippery when you needed it to be stable, and sticky when you needed it to slide, and altogether spiteful, Mabs always thought. Hours later, her arms and legs were shaking. Her feet inside her worn boots were completely numb. She wasn't certain her negligible strength was even helping anymore. Exhaustion, cold, and the murky light blunted her senses. As yet another